holding on Chavav Amr Aleph by the Mishnah. Okay, so far we learned about the first two piyosis that they had, the first one to see who does Trumas Hadeshen and a couple of other avoidus, and the second one to see who does the various avoidus of the Karban Tamid, shechting it and sprinkling the blood and so forth, and taking the pieces of it up to the Mizbeach. So now the Mishnah continues. A pious HaShlishi, the third pious that took place every day, where the announcement was, Chadosh Shem L'Ketoros, those who are new to the Ketoros, those who have not brought Ketoros ever before, Boyu V'Hafisu, come and join in the pious. It was open only to people who never brought Ketoros before, for reasons that we're going to mention in the Gemara. Obviously, if everybody there had already brought Ketoros, then everybody is eligible. Although the Gemara is going to say that never happened. And the fourth pious was Chadoshim Im Yeshanim. The fourth one, again, was open to new people as well as old people. And they had to mention that because having excluded the old the people who did it before from the third one, they had to stress that the fourth one is open to everybody. Who is going to carry up the pieces of the korban from the ramp, which we said before, the people from the second group left them on the ramp and salted them and then went off to say Krishna and davening and whatever. So now, who's going to carry them up from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach? Which we're going to see about that. Now, one thing is, the question is, does that mean, are we talking about that they pick a number of Kohenim equal to the number who brought them there? So, for example, we said 9 people brought the pieces of the Karban Tamid and the Mincha and whatever of it to the Kevesh. So therefore we make a pious and choose 9 other Kohanim to bring them up to the top of the Mizbeach. Is that what it means? Many of the Rishonim explain it that way. Tosfos Rishonim seems to understand, a couple of others seem to understand it, that it means that they would pick only one Kohen and he would bring them up one after the other. You have a further machlokas in it also. The Ritva holds that these people that they picked would just bring them up to the top of the Mizbeach, and then somebody else would throw them into the fire. Or on the other hand, other Rishonim seem to understand that the ones who carry them up are also the ones who throw them in. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa about the Ketoros, Me Olam Lishana Odamba. Nobody ever brought the Ketoros twice. My time, and why is that? Because bringing the Ketoros makes a person wealthy. So they didn't want a person to repeat bringing the Ketoros again because they wanted to spread the bracha around. They wanted to spread the bracha around, so they wanted to give more people the opportunity to do it. So that's why the pious was only open to people who had never done it before. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss where we see this from, but an interesting side point that comes from that, by the way, is that the Ma'aril brings in a similar vein that the Sandik by a Bris, his lap is like the Mizbeach that Ketoros is brought on, and the Bris of the baby is like bringing Ketoros. It also has the Segula to make a person wealthy. And for that reason, the Ma'aril says that you shouldn't, the same way, a father shouldn't give Sandikos for 2 of his sons to the same person. Later posts can talk about exceptions to that. First of all, the father himself can take Sandikos for his children as many times as he wants. And second of all, also a person can honor his Rebbe or somebody very important like that with Sandikos over and over for his children, the same way as, for example, we said in the first Perek that the Kohen Gadol can bring Ketoros any time during the year that he feels like it. So Amaleta Papa Abaya, my time. So Abaya asked her Papa, why is it? Where do we get this idea that Ketoros has to do with wealth? Ilema Mashum Dichtiv, are you going to say it's because you have the Pasuk in Moshe's Bracha to Shevet Levi? The Pasuk says, Yasimu Ketoros Ba'apecha, they will place Ketoros in your nostrils, like Kaviyachol, they bring the Ketoros and it becomes a Nachas Ruach Reach Nichoyach, it becomes a Nachas Ruach for Hashem. Uchtiv Basri Baruch Hashem Cheloi, and the next Pasuk continues, Hashem bless Cheloi, which Cheloi, one meaning of Cheloi means his wealth. Well, if you're going to say like that, Ihochi Oilanami, then in that case, the same thing should apply to an Oila. The same pasuk that begins Yasimuk Torah Va'Pecha continues V'Cholol Al Mizbechecha, and a completely burnt korban on your Mizbeach. So an ola is a completely burnt carbon. In fact, Tosfos Yeshanim points out you actually have the word kolil used in connection in Chumash. You don't have it in connection with an ola. It uses other words, but in Nevi, in Nach, we have the word kolil used in connection with an ola. So then the pasuk should be implying that a kohen who brings k'tardas or an ola becomes wealthy. Why are we saying specifically k'tardas? So Abaye answers him, the difference is that one is more common and the other one is less common. Meaning, Rashi says, therefore, if we're saying that wealth is associated with one of them, more logically it's going to be associated with the one that is less common. Otherwise, I mean, Olas are brought all the time, all the Kohanim are going to become wealthy, and we see in practice it's not like that. So therefore, it's more likely that it's referring to something, namely k'tardas, which is much less common because there's k'tardas only twice a day. You can't bring k'tardas as nedava. So therefore, it's more logical that it's talking about that. Tosfos Yeshanim says a little bit differently. The vort is that given that olos are so common, it would be very easy for everybody to make themselves rich. Everybody could just bring each kohen could just donate an ola to the business, bring it themselves. Because after all, that's the din. A kohen is allowed to bring his own korbanos, even if it's not his mishmo's turn in the Bismikdash. So therefore, all of them have a very easy way to becoming wealthy. So therefore, it's more logical to say that it's talking about k'tardas, where they don't have the ability to do that. So in this connection, so that's why. So because the k'tardas had the power to make a person wealthy, therefore they didn't want one kohen to do it more, to do it when other kohenim haven't yet had the chance to do it. So in this connection, since we're mentioning the psukim from Levi's bracha, Yasimu k'tardas b'apecha v'chol olam mizbechecha, and Baruch Hashem cheloi, so the Gemara digresses a second to talk about the first half of the pasuk. The second half, we just quoted, Yasimu k'tardas b'apecha v'chol olam mizbechecha. The first half of that pasuk, now the Gemara is going to talk about something with it. Omar Rava, loy mashkachas tzurva me'er abonon demori, you will not find a young Talmud Chacham who paskens halacha, who teaches and decides halacha, ela da'asi mishevet Levi or mishevet Yisachar, only if he comes from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. So Mephoshim point out, first of all, that when we say lo mashkacha, doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's much more common throughout all the generations and in every group of Jews anywhere in the world. You have people from Levi and from Yisachar who have that capability, but obviously there could be individuals from other shvatim as well. So why are those specific two shvatim? Levi dichtiv yodim ashvatach haliyakov. By Levi, the pasuk says, the first half of that pasuk that we just quoted says, yodim ashvatach haliyakov. They will teach your mashvatim to Yaakov. So we see that Levi has that special ability. And Yisachar dichtiv, the famous pasuk it says about Yisachar, umibnei Yisachar, from the children of Yisachar, yodim bina la'itim. There were people who had understanding for the times, meaning that they were experts in calculating the when the moon is visible for Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shanim. Ladas Mayasi Yisrael, to know what the Jewish people should do. And the pasuk continues, V'chalacheyam Apiyam, all their brothers followed what they said. We know that Shevet Yisachar were very famously, they were heads of the Sanhedrin. They were particularly experts at calculating Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Hashana. The Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in fact, mentions that there were Sfarim that they wrote on the subject to explain the details. Unfortunately, that Rambam says we lost them and we don't have them, and therefore that Rambam says I had to resort to Sfarim from the Greeks. I had to resort to books from the Greeks, from Greek scientists and philosophers and whatever that explain how to calculate these things. So therefore the point is the Gemara is saying that Yisachar has that special ability to pasken halacha. So Levi and Yisachar. So the question is, Eimer Yehuda Nami. So why not say that Shevet Yehuda has that capability as well? Dichtiv Yehuda Mechokiki. The pasuk says in Tilim, Yehuda is my lawgiver. So that also means they have the ability to give law, to pasken halacha. The answer is asukish shmaita alibe dehilchsa kamina. What we're talking about is not just the ability to pasken, the ability to explain Torah. Sure, yes, Shevet Yehuda has that capability as well. But to come up to a conclusion that's correct al pi halacha, that's something that Shevet Yehuda doesn't necessarily have. Shevet Levi and Shevet Yisachar have that special capability. Shevet Yehuda not necessarily. Now, there's a lot to talk about that. First of all, Tosfos asks the question, you have a pasuk in Chumash already. You have that Yaakov says in his bracha to Yehuda Mechokif Mibin Raglov. So why don't we bring that? Why are we bringing the pasuk Yehuda Mechokif? So Tosfos says that's talking about a bracha. What that means, let's say in a second. But the point, the pasuk from Tillim is telling us a fact. Yehuda Mechokiki, Yehuda is my lawgiver. Not just a bracha that may or may not have come true, but rather a statement of fact. Marsha says, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're going to say a bracha of Yaakov didn't come true? So Marsha says, no, the pasuk from Mechokiki and Gendaglov can be talking about that you have, there are the kings and Nesiim that come from Shevet Yehuda. So like people who are appointed by humans, yes, they have special capabilities. But what we want to focus is people who are given it mina shamayim. So therefore, the Gemara wanted to bring a pasuk for the pasuk from Tillim, Yehuda Mechok Ki. Yehuda is my lawgiver, implying that Yehuda is given that capability mina shamayim, rather than just by being appointed to some high position on earth. And the Gemara answer is that still Shevet Yehuda doesn't necessarily have this ability, which Marsha goes on to say. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that David had that special capability. In fact, it says over there that when they told Shaul about it, then Shaul was jealous that David has it and he doesn't. And the answer is that David himself, because precisely that, because he was a king, then Hashem granted him that special ability. Doesn't mean that regular people from Shevet Yehuda have that. There's a good deal of other discussion about all the ins and outs of this. First of all, the Siach Yitzchak says, when Tosfos says that it's talking about a bracha, the pasuk from Yaakov, doesn't mean it's a bracha and therefore it wasn't the sky. It means the Gemara would rather bring a pasuk that tells us the actual facts that happened. So that's one. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out another thing also, that it's true that David particularly had this ability, but the Gemara also tells us, we talked a few days ago about Mephibosheth, the grandson of Shaul, who was David's Rebbe, and the whole thing that went on between David and him, but he had been David's Rebbe, and the Gemara tells us in Brachas that David would always consult with him before he passed in Halacha to see whether he's saying the right thing. So yeah, once he consults with him, then yeah, he has the ability to come up with something out valid on the Halacha, whereas Shevet Levi and Shevet Yisachar don't need that; they're able to come up with it by themselves. Another point on it that the Gevurah Sari talks about. He says that David, we know, was also descended from Levi on his mother's side. The Gemara tells us in Sota that David is descended somehow from Miriam, who after all is from Shevet Levi. Miriam married Kalev. Now, David's not Kalev from Shevet Yehuda, but David is not descended Ben Achaben from Kalev. He's descended from a different branch of the family, but apparently at some point, one of his ancestors married a woman from the descendants of Kalev, and therefore David is descended from Kalev and Miriam as well, and Miriam is from Shevet Levi. So there you go. David had that special capability because he was not only from Shevet Yehuda, but he also had the power of Shevet Levi. Not necessarily. If somebody is purely from Shevet Yehuda, or has other shvatim mixed in his ancestry, but not Levi and Yisachar, that he should have this capability. The Chida says that maybe what we're saying is we're saying that Tzurvam and Abanan, a young Talmud Chacham, that he should have the capability. Is something unusual. Yeah, mature Talmud Chacham to be able to do that. Like David, there's no special chiddush in that. People from any Shevet can have that capability. By the way, Lasukah Shemaita Alibed Hilchza is no small thing. The Gemara mentions there in Sanhedrin that it requires special Siyata Dishmaya, and The Rebbe Rashab in Kuntritz Etachayim, which is he gives instructions over there about how yeshivas should be run, particularly how Tenchet Mimma should be run. He says it's all very well to teach the Talmidim how to pilpul zich in Gemara and everything, but the bottom line is you got to focus on Lasuk Yishmaita, Alibid Hilchsa, to know at the end of the day, after you learn something, what's the Bechain, what's the practical thing from it that we need to know in Avoida. Getting back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ein Mefaisin Al Tomet Shaben Habayim. Now, so we went through the four piyosis, and by the way, again, we talked about at the beginning of the parak, the Machlokas Rishonim, whether these piyosis took place on Yom Kippur, where the Baal HaMor says that not, because the Kohen Gadol is doing the whole avodah anyhow, and then the Ramban and a couple of other Rishonim say that there are individual ones that were done on Yom Kippur. So according to the Ramban, the third one over here was needed because, fine, the Ketores itself, we're not talking about the Ketores and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's something special to Yom Kippur. We're talking about the regular daily, the regular twice a day Ketores. Fine, that the Kohen Gadol is doing. But again, we said yesterday that somebody needs to bring in a handful of coals to put on the Mizbeach HaZahav, which they then use that to burn the Ketores. So according to the Ramban, the third pious would be done on Yom Kippur in order to choose somebody to do that. Usually during the rest of the year, we said the Chachamim would say that whoever was picked for Ketores, then the one standing next to him automatically gets the Machta. According to the Yehuda, we said, at least according to Tosfos, according to the Yehuda, we said the Kohen tells somebody else, Chayimi b'machta, which we said Tosfos said that meant that he can pick whichever Kohen from the circle he wants to join him and bring him in the Machta, or even he could decide to bring it in himself. On Yom Kippur, though, they would make a pious to determine and who brings in that machta, who brings in that panful of coals for the Ketores. The Rambam, by the way, seems to disagree with that, because the Rambam says that one of the avodas that they gave to the person who did Terumas Hadeshin, we said at the beginning of the Perek, because Terumas Hadeshin, it's very early in the morning, and it's really a nighttime avoda, and therefore the Kohenim are likely to consider it not as important and not show up for the pious. Therefore, we sweeten the pot. We said by adding him a couple of other avodas, he gets to set up the wood pile, he gets to add the Shnei Gzireitzim. The Rambam learns that he's also the one who takes the coals and brings them in for the Ketores. So according to the Rambam, there was no need for a third pious on Yom Kippur, because again, whoever won Terumas Hadeshin is automatically doing that, and the Kohen Gadol is doing Ketores. Anyway, that's the third one. The fourth one, the Ramban says that yes, the Kohen Gadol would have to carry up all the pieces of the Korban Tamid to the Mizbeach. He has to do that all that himself. Yes, it's going to be quite a strain on him to do one after the other. But what does the Ramban say in that fourth one, we're still going to pick. I forget actually what the Ramban says on it. Maybe that the people who are picked for it are going to hand them to the Kohen Gadol, or maybe they're going to help throw in it. Maybe what it is, he's going to bring them up, and then they're going to throw in it. I don't remember that exactly actually, but whatever. The Ramban says there was a need for the fourth pious on Yom Kippur as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Ein Mefaisin Al Tomei Chaben Habayim. They did not make a... Now, when you think about it, most of these avodas that were done in the morning also had to be done in the afternoon with the Tomei Chaben Habayim. Yeah, you also had to shechta, you also had to sprinkle the blood, you also had to carry the pieces to the Mizbeach, etc. Well, not quite everything. Not quite everything. First of all, you didn't need Terumas Hadeshin. There's no Terumas Hadeshin in the afternoon. There's also the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, and actually we're going to say on Amud Beis, it was done a little bit differently. The Shnei Gzira Eitzim in the afternoon, instead of one Kohen carrying them, two Kohenim carried them. So actually, Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim here deal with the issue. If we're going to say that, Rabbi Yechon is going to tell us there was no separate pious for the afternoon, so how did they arrange that? So we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that point in a minute. But there were a couple of avodas that they did in the morning, which they don't do in the afternoon, but most of them they do. So Rabbi Yechonon says, Ein mefaisin al tomid shaben habayim. We do not make a separate pious for the afternoon tomid. Ela koyin shazocha bebeshachus zeicha bayaris. Whichever koyin won a certain avoda in the morning, he does the same avoda in the afternoon. So whoever won shchita in the morning does shchita in the afternoon. Whoever won to clean off the mizbeach hapnimi in the morning does it in the afternoon, and so forth. Like Moses said, now again, for example, as far as the menorah, you have one of the things we said they had was mimidashinus a menorah, who cleans out the menorah. Now, according to the Rambam, that they lit the menorah in the morning and in the evening, then you have a need for somebody to clean it out in the afternoon, and then reset it with wicks and oil. According to everybody else, that they only lit it in the evening, they only prepared the oil and the wicks in the morning, so then obviously there's no need to clean it out in the afternoon. So that would be another avoda that we don't need in the afternoon. But we're saying that they didn't. So one second. So the Gemara says, "Meis k'shem shemafais in shachris, kach mafais in bein ha'abayim." I have a contradiction. A Braisa says just like they made a pious in the morning, so they made a pious in the afternoon. The answer is Kitanyahi Ketores. That's talking about Ketores. We said we don't want to. We want to give as many Kohenim as possible the chance to do Ketores. So for that we would make a new pious. For that we would make a new pious in the afternoon. But for everything else, the same person who did it in the morning, keep in mind, I mean, all of this that we're talking about, the pious, is only as far as the Korban Tamid and the Avodas that go along with it. Now, you also have, for example, the Korbanos Musaf on Sundays. Maybe they made a separate pious for those. And on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, or maybe whoever did a particular avodah with the Talmud would also do it with the Musaf. But you also have private people are bringing Korbanos all day long. So a person could pick which Kohen from the current serving base of is bringing his Korban. So they would have a chance that way. And of course, like we just said before, if a Kohen himself brings a Korban any time during the year, then he's able to be makriv himself. So it's not like most of the Kohenim before was inept. Anyway, so fine. So for the Ketores, they would make a separate pious. By the way, so again, Tosfos and Tosfos Hashanim talk about, so what do we do as far as the Shnei Gzira Eitzim? The fact that in the morning one Kohen carries the two pieces of wood, and in the afternoon there were two of them. So Tosfos says, maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say that fine, in the morning, when we're making the pious for the second pious, and among other things, it determines who's going to be carrying up the pieces of wood, then at that time, they would also, right afterwards, they would make another pious for the afternoon to decide which two Kohenim are going to do it then. We're not counting that as a separate pious, because again, they're all gathered together over there. Sort of like we had yesterday in the Gemara, the question of, did they make a separate pious for Shechet and a separate one for Zodik and so forth, or did they just make one pious, pick a Kohen, and then pick the 12 Kohenim standing to his right? So here it could have been the same kind of thing. So the previous Mishnah then had mentioned that 13 Kohenim were Zodik, meaning were Zodik in the Avodis of the morning. Not talking about that there was an extra one for the afternoon. Another possibility also, Tosfos Yishanim says, is you could have, again, the same kind of thing. Whichever Kohen won the right to bring up the two logs in the morning would say to the Kohen next to him, Zecheimi, that you join me for the afternoon and you'll be the one bringing the other one together with me in the afternoon. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, k'shem shemefaisin loy shachris, kach mefaisin loy aris. Just like they made a pious for him, loy is loshen zachar, in the morning, so in the afternoon. Now, loy can't be referring to ketores, because ketores is loshen nekeva, so therefore it has to mean that we're talking about the tamid, which is loshen zachar. So that would mean that we make a pious for the afternoon tamid. Okay, the Gemara says, Ema law. Fine, correct the wording of the Braisa. The Tana of the Braisa didn't know Dikduk. He said loy when he meant law. For her, meaning for the Ketores, which is lost in the Kaver. The Gemara says, Val Tanya, but we have another Braisa that says clearly, Keshem Shemafaisin loy Shachwis, just like they make a pious for it, Blossom Zacher, in the morning, Kach Mephaisin loy Avis, so they make a pious in the afternoon, or Shem Shemephaisin loy Shachwis, in the same way they make a pious for her, meaning obviously the Kurdus in the morning, Kach Mephaisin loy Avis. So this Braisa spells out very clearly, you have loy and you have loy, you have for him, for something which is Loshen Zachar, Bepashus meaning the Talmud, and something which is Loshen Nekeva meaning the Kurdus. So the Braisa is clearly saying that we make separate pyosis for each one, for the morning and for the afternoon. And not just for the Ketores. The answer is Amar Shmo Bar Yitzchak Hacha B'Shabbos Askinen. That Braisa is talking about on Shabbos, which Tosfos Yishanim says. In that case, now we don't need any of the previous answers. We can say that they didn't have a separate pious for the afternoon Ketores on weekdays. Whoever did it in the morning automatically does it in the afternoon, and the same thing with everything else. No, on Shabbos, that was different. Hoyol Mishmoris Mishadris. Because the Mishmoris switch. The new Mishmar takes over in the middle of the day. So then you have to have a pious in the afternoon for the new Kohenim that came on board, who's going to be doing the avodas of the afternoon topic. They start in the afternoon, right? So the old group would be doing the Talmud Shal Shachar on Shabbos, and possibly the Musafim as well. And then the Tosfos Hashanim on Omer Beis talks about, you have different opinions. We're going to learn in the next parak about what the order was. Where we say in morning davening, and I may have Masada, we say Musaf and the Bazichim, that first they brought the Korban Musaf, and then they brought the Bazichim, the two spoonfuls of Ketores of Lavoina that went with the Lechem upon him. But there is an opinion we're going to learn later on that Bazichim came before Musafim. So whatever the case, the group from the old group, the previous Mishmar, would do the Avodah on Shabbos morning, would do the Avodah of the Talmud, and maybe something of the Musafim or the Bazichim as well, depending on the different opinions. And then the new group that comes in would do the afternoon Talmud. So since it's new people, obviously they need a new pious. But during the rest of the week, not necessarily. So the Gemara asks, Ulmaida Solika Daita Meikra. Now, let's go back to our initial assumption. We thought that there's no difference between Shabbos and weekdays. We thought that the Braisa meant that you do a separate pious for each of these things in the afternoon. Well, how could we have thought that anyway? Leaving aside the problem that we have a Braisa that says otherwise. Never mind that. Never mind the fact that we didn't want to contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Nefishi Lahu Piosis. If we understood the Braisa that way, and it's talking about a weekday, it would mean that there are many more than four piyasas. Because you have four piyasas in the morning. You need most, if not all of them in the afternoon. Because again, you need a pious for the avodas of the Tomid in the afternoon, and another one for the Torahs in the afternoon, and so forth. And we know, we established that there are four piyasas every day. So then it would come out there are seven or eight. So for that reason alone, we should understand that it meant, like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that there's no new pious in the afternoon, except when we need to, like on Shabbos. The answer is Maisi Kulam Mitzafra Asu. The answer is that doesn't mean anything. It could mean everybody came in the morning for the pious. The Zochi by Arvasochi. And then what they would do is they would make back to back each time. And they make a pious for the morning and another pious for the afternoon. It could have been that way. It still wouldn't violate the rule that Ira Piosis Hoyosham, because that doesn't mean necessarily only four Piosis. It means they would gather for the pious only four times. So the first time, for example, they would gather for the pious for Trumas Hadeshin, and while they're at it, after they pick the Kohen who does Trumas Hadeshin and the other Avodists with it, while they're at it, now they say, okay, now stay in the circle over here. We're going to pick another number and we're going to pick who does the, There's no Trumas Hadeshin in the afternoon, but who's going to do the Shnei Gzira Eitzim and who's going to set up the Ma'arocha and so forth?
Here you're saying that they're doing all the pious right there, all the Chayanim had to be there so early.
No, so we're not saying that we did. No, so what we're saying is that the Hava Amina would have been that once we're making the pious for the morning, right then we also make the pious for the afternoon, and the Kohen who won it is gonna know this afternoon I'm gonna get to do it. But what we're actually saying is, now you're right. If that would give an incentive to the Kohen. That would give an incentive to the Kohen to show up for the pious. Sure, but in practice we're saying it wasn't like that. We're saying that in Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that in general, whoever did the avoda in the morning automatically does the same avoda in the afternoon. So there's no need for a new pious in the front. There's no need for a new pious in the afternoon, for example, for who's setting up the Ma'arocha and who's putting the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, because whoever won in the morning is automatically winning in the afternoon. You're right, that again, that would make an incentive. Well, that was the whole point. Chachamim wanted to sweeten the pot because Trumas Hadeshin is so early in the morning, and because it's so early in the morning, and because a Kohen is likely to think, why should I bother? What are the chances that I'm going to win the pious? And actually get to do the avodah? So therefore, they would sweeten the pot by giving him other avodahs to go with it. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that it's further sweetened because he also knows that that same, unless it's Shabbos, that same afternoon, he's going to get to do the same avodah again in the afternoon. This is before anything, yeah. Because, again, the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi is part of the second pious. By the time the second pious is going on, yeah, many more Kohenim are awake and ready. We said in the second pious they took 13 Kohenim, so obviously you're going to have a lot. It was the first pious that we were saying there was a problem that the Chachamim figured after the whole story with the foot race and the guy breaking his leg and everything, that if we have to make a pious, nobody's going to bother showing up because everybody's going to figure, why should I bother waking up first thing in the morning for an avoda which takes place, which is really a nighttime avoda anyhow, and it involves waking up so early, my chances of winning the pious are very low, so therefore they'd sweeten the pot by putting in more avodas. By the time it comes to the second pious, many more Kohenim are there. The first pious was done. Kind of pretty much in the middle of the night, yeah. So we're saying ultimately we're saying once they made a pious for the first one, once they said no more foot races, then we said whoever wins that one also gets the Ma'arocha, also gets to set up the wood pile on the Mizbeach, also gets in the morning to bring the two logs of wood to the Mizbeach, and also gets, according to the Rambam, also to bring in the pan of coals for the Kurdis. So, and then according to what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us over here, on a weekday, he would also do the same things in the afternoon. No, no, preparing the menorah is part of the second one. Part of the second pious, yeah. Yeah. So then by that time, all the Kohanim were showing up, yeah. The Rambam Paskins, that the Rambam Paskins like this explanation over here, like this ukimta that they do, that we don't, that like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that whoever did an avoda in the morning does an avoda in the afternoon, obviously except for Shabbos, because you have a new Mishmar, but the Rambam does make an exception for Keturus. He learns that when we said before, Kitanya Ahibu Keturus, unlike what Tosfos Yeshanim said, that we reject that explanation because we don't need it, the Rambam still apparently holds that it is a valid ukimta, and therefore Keturus, they made an exception. Because, again, we said that Totus makes the Kohen who does it wealthy, therefore they want to spread the wealth and give as many Kohenim the chance to do it as possible. So then they would have a separate pious for, but everything else they would just have the same Kohenim who did something in the morning would do it in the afternoon as well. Obviously, I guess, you could conceivably have that during the day a Kohen becomes Tomei or Fossil or something, and then I guess they'd have to pick somebody else, but that wouldn't be a very common circumstance. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, another point to mention as far as the third pious, so we said again, according to the Rambam, fine, whoever does Trumas Adeshin also brings in the coals for the Keturah, so there's no separate pious for that. According to Tosfos' understanding, we said that whichever Kohen won the Keturah also had the right to tell somebody else to bring in the Machta with him, or he could decide to do it himself. Tosfos Yeshanim discusses the point. This that we're saying that the Keturus makes a person wealthy, does the Machta have that capability as well? So therefore, do we want to have that given out with a pious, or do we not care about that? According to the Rambam, apparently we don't care about that. Only the Keturus makes a person wealthy. The Machta doesn't. Therefore, we have no problem giving it as a sweetener to the one who woke up early for Terumas Hadeshin. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Harvi Chadoshim Yishanim Chola, the fourth pious we said was we invite Kohenim who have never done this avoda before, as well as Kohenim who have, and we tell them, and we're deciding who's going to bring up the pieces of the korban that were left on the ramp of the Mizbeach and salted now to carry them up to the top of the Mizbeach. And again, are those the same people who are going to be throwing them in, or according to the Ritva, maybe they're different people, whatever the case, the point is now we're going to be picking that person or those people in this fourth pious. Tosfos Yeshanim points out, Keturus Kodemus Leivorim, we say in morning davening, that's why they did the pious for Keturus before they did this pious. Okay, so the Gemara says, Masnissim Deloik Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, our Mishnah apparently is not going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanan, because we learn in a Mishnah, in Talmud, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Hamalei Vorim Lakevesh, Hu Mala Oysen Lamizbeach. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says that they didn't have separate people, whichever people carried a particular limb of the carbon to the Kevesh would be the same one who later on would bring that same one up to the Mizbeach. The Ma'akov Mitzvah, Gidei Gemara says, what's the underlying Ma'akov? The Tana of our Mishnah holds that the more people that are involved in a mitzvah, the greater the honor to Hashem. So therefore, it's more of an honor to Hashem that you have one person, for example, bring the head of the korban to the Mizbeach and drop it off there, and then somebody else brings it up to the top of the Mizbeach. Or Marasava, where Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says, on the other hand, Makom Shechina, Lav Orech Ara, in the place of the Shechina, it's not Derech Eretz to just say, like, oh, I can't be bothered to do the rest of it, I'm just going to drop it off over here, it's too much for me, and therefore say, you know what, I'm not coming back to it. It's more Derech Eretz that he should come back and finish the job that he started, and show honor to Hashem now. No. Once he put it on the ramp and salted it, he should be bringing that same piece to the top of the ramp and to the top of the ramp, to the top of the Mizbeach. Okay. Amar Rava. So Rava says like this now. Now, we learned about four piyosis. If you think about it, now we had before, again, we had Rabbi Yehuda saying, that there was, Rabbi Yehuda saying there was no separate pious for the Machta, implying, at least according to Tosfos' understanding, that according to the Chachamim, there would be a separate one. We'd have a pious to say, to determine who brings the Keturus, and we'd have another one to determine who brings in the pan of coals with him. Again, particularly if we say that also has the ability to make a person rich. So, and here we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying that there was no fourth pious for that there was no pious to determine who brings the pieces up to the mizbeach. So Rabbi points out, Loi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Islay de Rabbi Yehuda, Veloi Rabbi Yehuda Islay de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda necessarily have to be disagreeing with each other. Neither one is able to hold the other one's shita. The imken botsulahu piyasis, because if one of them held like the other, then it would come out you would have only three piyasis instead of five, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say like this: the four piyasis are what we've been saying in the Mishnayos. The first one for Trumas Hadeshin and the related things, the second one for the Talmud Shel Shachar, the third one for the Ketores, and the fourth one for bringing up Beivarim. If he held like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, like we said, and like we just said, that there's no separate one for the Evarim, then there'd be only three. And we know there were four. Vice versa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that there was none for bringing up the Evarim to the Mizbeach, necessarily he has to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that there was a separate one for the pan full of coals. Again, because otherwise you only have three. You'd have Trumas Adeshin, Tomid, and Ketores, and that would be it. And we know there had to be four. So necessarily they have to disagree with each other. The Tani Chomish. Now, if you find a Tana who says that there were five, then we're going to have to say how who deloik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would deloik Rabbi Yehuda. Necessarily, that will have to be a Tana who holds not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not like Rabbi Yehuda. He would say that there is a separate pious for the Machta, and there is a separate one for bringing up the Evarim. So if there is such a Tana, then he would say, number one, Trumas Hadeshin, number two, Tomid, number three, Ketores, number four, Machta, and number five, Evarim. Okay, Tosfos points out, if we found such a Tana, why couldn't we say that we just said before that Rabbi Yochanan had told us there's no separate pious for the afternoon, just whoever won something in the morning automatically would do it in the afternoon. Why don't we say that maybe there is a separate pious to hand out the avodas for the afternoon? So Tosfos says, first of all, what Rava means is if you find a Tana that says that there were five piyasas in the morning, if we said not like Rabbi Yochanan, there was a separate one in the afternoon, fine, that would be in the afternoon. They wouldn't necessarily do it in the morning. Or Tosfos says another possibility: if we say that there was a separate pious for the Tumid in the afternoon, necessarily there would have to be a separate pious for the Ketores in the afternoon also. Now you're up to six piyasas. So if you find a Tana that says that's five, then it wouldn't work with that either. The only way would be to understand that he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and says there was a separate pious for the Machta, as well as that he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and says that there was a separate one to bring the pieces of the korban and up to the top of the mizbeach. Which, by the way, we're going to have later on in the Gemara. We're going to have, according to many Rishonim, a Braisa that does in fact say that. So fine. Maybe at this point in the Gemara, the Tosfos says maybe at this point in the Gemara they didn't know of that Braisa. The Amoraim had to know all the Mishnayos. They didn't necessarily have to know all the Braisas that are out there. So right now, a Rava is saying, I don't know of any Tana that says that, but if you find a Tana that says that, it would mean that he disagrees with both of them. Later on, we're going to see there may indeed be such a Tana. So now, in the previous Mishnah, we said that there were nine Kohanim who brought up the Tumid and the various things that go with it to the Mizbeach. We said in the second pious there were 13 Kohanim won. Now, four of them win things that have nothing to do with the Tumid itself. They do things before the pieces are being brought to the Mizbeach. One shechts the korban, one sprinkles the blood, one cleans off the Mizbeach HaPnimi from the ashes and burnt Ketores from yesterday, the other one cleans out the menorah. So subtracting those, you have nine who are involved with actually bringing the pieces of the Tumid to the Mizbeach. So we said Kabbalah, we said the one who does the Zrika, also the one who wins Zrika also wins Kabbalah. We talked about do we want to do that, or do we want the one who shechts to do the zrika? Because otherwise, the one who does the kabbalah may be in a rush and he may not do a proper kabbalah, receive all the blood. But we said that's not how it works. The fact is, the one who does the zrika also wins kabbalah. So he brings it over to the mizbeach. So setting up the wood on the mizbeach, that's sidur hamaracha. That's what we said at the beginning of the parak, that the one who wins Trumas Hadeshin also wins that. So he also does the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, right? Render bring the Tamid, Gzeres HaKosov, that lit. So the wood pile was set up and they lit the fire. Now when they bring the pieces of the Tamid and throwing them onto the fire, Gzeres HaKosov, that they also have to put two logs on the fire at that time, by the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. And as we're going to say soon in the Gemara, in the morning that was the two pieces that were held by one Kohen, in the afternoon they were held by two Kohenim. So these were a certain standard size log. The Gemara mentions elsewhere they were an amma by an amma, and they were the thickness of a they were the thickness, I think, of a leg of a bed or something like that. Whatever, they were standard size the logs that, that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mizbeach in his times, and that's the same size that they continued to use as long as there was a Mishkan or a Beis Hamikdash. No, what we're saying is so they have, there's a pile of wood that's set up. They take wood from the Lishkas HaEitzim and they put it up there, a regular thing like you would set up a bonfire. Right, so exactly. Now, Gzeres HaKosov, that when you bring the Tamid, also you have to take two more logs and put them on the fire at that time. Yeah. Okay. So again, we said that there are nine Kohanim in the pious who win the right to bring up the pieces of the Korban, and they put them on the ramp of the Mizbeach, they sort them, then they leave them and they go off to say Shema and certain parts of davening, and then they come back, and again we said according to the previous Mishnah, the fourth pious then determines who brings them up to the top of the Mizbeach, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, the same ones who brought them there are the same one, each one picks up his pieces and brings them to the top. And here again, you have the question: is it that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, who had said that there is a fourth pious, are we picking one Kohen who now is going to bring up all those pieces, or are we picking multiple Kohenim? Are we picking, for example, nine Kohenim to bring up the pieces? Anyway, so the Mishnah tells us Tamid Kor V'Tisha. The Tamid from when we start bringing the pieces to the Mizbeach is brought sometimes by nine Kohenim, or Ba'asara by 10, Ba'achad also by 11, Mishneim also by 12. Loit Pachas V'Lo Yosef. There were never more, and never less. The minimum number of Kohenim was always nine. The maximum was 12. Which, now, what it is, again, if we say that there was a separate pious for the after, to say who brings them up, then Tosfos points out, what it is, it's not that there couldn't be more Kohenim, but after all, when you think about it, a Kohen who won in the second pious, conceivably, one of those Kohenim who won in the second pious could conceivably also win something in the fourth. Conceivably, you could have that all of them did. It so happens. So therefore, what we're saying is, if you have nine Kohenim bringing the pieces to the Mizbeach on a regular day, as we're going to say, then the minimum number is nine. Because conceivably, you could have, there's no more Kohenim than that. According to Tosfos, is one of the opinions who says that you would have one Kohen bring them all up to the top of the Mizbeach, one after the other. So that Kohen who does that, conceivably, could have been one of the nine who brought them there to begin with. So not necessarily. A different Kohen could win it, and then you have 10. But not necessarily, and that's why the Mishnah is saying the minimum is 9. So, Kesad, how do we get, what are these figures? Asma Bates, the Talmud itself, we said you have 9 Kohenim. Five of them carry the outer organs of the Korban that were cut up, as we said. The sixth one carries the intestines, the stomachs and intestines of the animal in a bowl. Another one brings the mincha, the flour and oil mixture for the mincha. Another one brings the mincha chavitim of the kohen gadol, and another one brings the oil. So that's 9. Not the oil, the wine for the nesachim. So that makes 9. B'chag, during Sukkos, b'yad echad sloiches shamayim. You have a 10th one who's holding the pitcher of water that they would pour for nisach hamayim on the mizbeach, which, as the Gemara is going to say, that took place only during the Tamid Shal Shachar, harei kan asara. So therefore, on Sukkos, you have 10 kohenim standing over there. They did it in the morning together with the Tamid. No, the Gemara is going to explain that they did only in the morning. Ben ha'abayim in the afternoon on a regular day, but achadoser, then you have 11 rather than 9. Why? Who asked me, Batisha? The Talmud itself, you have 9, like we said before. Ushnaim biyadim, shnei gzira etzim, and then you have 2 koyanim that are holding the 2 logs of wood. Again, in the morning, you had only 1 koyan, and he wasn't picked in that pious, because we said at the beginning of the parak that the koyan was picked for Tzrumas Hadeshen, and the first pious is the one that got the shnei gzira etzim as well. So there's no separate, so yes, there's a 10th koyan standing in the line over there, but we're not counting him, because we're talking about who won in the second pious, how many Kohanim won the right to bring things to the Mizbeach is 9. But in the afternoon, you had 2 people have to bring Shnei Gzireitzim. So therefore, you have 11 people that are standing there in line to bring things to the Mizbeach. The Shabbos, on Shabbos morning, also Ba'achados. So you also have 11, but for a different reason. Who asked me the Tisha? The Korban itself, you have 9. Or Shnei Miyadim, Shnei Bezich, Levonish, Alachim Apanim. And then you have 2 Kohanim standing, each one with one of the spoonfuls of Levonah that went with the Lachim Apanim. Because they take off the old Lachim Apanim and the old Levonah from the Shulchan on Shabbos. They burn the Levonah on the Mizbeach. They distribute the Lachim Apanim to the Kohanim. Divided up between the Kohanim of the old Mishmer and the new Mishmer, like we learned previously, and then they put on new lachem upon him, a new bazichim levina. So now you have 2 Kohanim, each one holding over there one of the bazichim, one of these spoonfuls of levina that's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. So 9 for the tamid and 2 for the spoons. Over Shabbos, Shabbosecha Chag, and then Shabbos that comes out during Sukkot, there is the 12th one, v'yadach tzloichas shamayim, because the 12th one is holding the pitcher of water to pour on the mizbeach. So that's how you have 12. That's how you have not. So those are the scenarios where we have 9, 10, 11, or 12. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar Rab Abba, v'itemer Rami Bachama, v'itemer Rab Yechanan. Rab Abba says, or some say Rami Bachama said, or some say Rab Yechanan says, Ein menaskin mayin b'chag ela b'tomen shal shachar. We do the nisach hamayim during Sukkot only during the only with the tomen in the morning. We don't do it again by the tomen shal ben arbayim. Mimai, where do we see that? From our Mishnah, Midkatoni, over Shabbos, Shabbos Seichachag, Biadechad, Sloichel Shamayim. We said Shabbos during Sukkot, you have one is carrying the pitcher of water. The Isak Yadach, the Tomer Shabbat, Habayim, and Nastin. Now, if you tell me that, and the Mishnah is saying that's the only way that we have 12 is by having in the Shabbos morning, when we have 9 for the Tomer, 2 for the Bazichim, and 1 for the pitcher of water. Now, we said on a regular weekday, you have 11. If you say you do the Nisach Hamayim during the Tomer in the afternoon, the Isak Yadach, the Tomer Shabbat, Habayim, and Nastin, Bechol Nam, Mashachasla. Then you have a scenario on a weekday also. The Mishnah doesn't have to say that only on Shabbos during Sukkot you have 12. On a regular weekday afternoon, on every afternoon during Sukkot, you'd also have 12. 9 for the Tomid, 2 for the 2 pieces of wood, and 1 for the Tzloichas. So since we don't have that, obviously, therefore, it means that you don't have the Tzloichas Shamayim, you don't have the water in the afternoon, only in the morning. Rav Ashi says, also, we have another proof for that from the Mishnah in Sukkah when it describes the procedure of Nisach HaMayim. It says, V'lam anasach oimrim loy, hag bayodcha, the one who is doing the Nisach HaMayim, we tell him, lift up your hand so that all of us can see that you're pouring it into where it belongs, into the hole, whatever, where it belongs. Shapam echa nisach al gabi raglov, because one time one Kohen who was doing the Avodah poured it on his feet because he was a tzduki, and since the whole concept of Nisach HaMayim is from Torah Shabbat Peh, the tzdukim didn't believe in it, so he poured it on his feet. Urgamuhu kalam besu again, and all the people pelted him with their asrogim. Now, the point is, why are we mentioning that they had their asrogim? What do we care what they pelted him with? In fact, the Oruch Laner explains, not only the question is why it has to mention the asrogim. Okay, the Mishnah wants to mention what they pelted him with. But actually, from Rashi over there in Sukkah, it comes out that some of them also had rocks in their hands, because the Gemara goes on to say over there in Shabbos that as a result of that, the Mizbeach was damaged and they had to fix it. That wouldn't happen if you only threw a asrogim. That would only happen if you're throwing hard things like rocks. So that being the case, why does the Mishnah have to mention the asrogim at all? Just say they pelted him. And we'll understand they pelted him with whatever came to hand. Rocks, asrogim, whatever. So that demonstrates that it was only during the morning because people have their asrogim, because you only take a little of an asrogim in the morning. So that also goes to show, by mentioning that detail, that the Nisach HaMayim takes place only in the morning. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim does say, it is true, the Gemara mentions in Sukkah that people from Yerushalayim would carry the bull of an esrog around all day as a hidur mitzvah. But on the other hand, it's one thing they're going to be there in the morning for the Tamid Shal Shachar because of the time to daven. In the afternoon, they're not going to be there during the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. What for? So if we're saying that everybody was there holding their esrogim, it must be they were there in order to daven in the morning and take the bull of an esrog in the Bais HaMikdash. And therefore, so if they pelted him with their esrogim, it means it was davka in the morning. There's a couple of places that Eber talks about deeper ideas behind this. First of all, what's the deeper idea of this that we say you need Nisach HaMayim only in the morning? Is Nisach HaMayim represents Kabbalah's oil. Because unlike wine, which has a taste and a flavor and a color, wine, water doesn't have any of those things. So it represents a voida that we do purely because the Eibush just said so, even though we don't have a tam and we don't have a reyach or nothing in it. So you need that primarily in the morning. Once you start out your day, with a mentality of Kabbalah Seil, then that'll carry you through the day. You don't necessarily need to revive it specifically in the afternoon. Another point that everyone once talked about is the order of things is during Sukkot, you'd have Simchas Pesach Sheiva going the whole night. Then you have the Nisuch of the wine, and then you have the Nisuch of the water. So that represents the idea, that represents the order of things, the light that they had during Simchas Pesach Sheiva. They had those giant menorahs that were burning all night. That represents Torah as it is Lamaila. Wine represents Torah as we understand it. Water again represents Torah, represents Kabbalah soil. So that's the order that you need to do. That's the order in which you need to do things of Avodah. Actually, the water comes first. The wine comes first. Yeah, they would pour the wine, then they would pour the water. So yeah, so it goes in that order. There's also in that connection. There's the thing that Eva talks about. Why did this Tzduki Koyin Davka pour it on his feet? Is because he was saying this whole concept of Kabbalah Seil, that's fine for the feet, for the lowly Jewish people. The heads, the Seicheldika people like me, we don't need that kind of avoda. So they all pelted him with their Esrogim, as if to say, you know what the Esrog represents? That represents the Yid who has both Torah and Mitzvahs. Even the Esrogim disagree with you on that, and say that even the Esrog Jews need Nusach HaMayim, need Kabbalah Seil as well. Don't be pouring it on your feet, realize the head needs it too. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. Is that where the stones come from? And you heard the Eretz Yisrael is full of stones. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. That happened to me. No, you don't walk into the Beis Hamikdash carrying stones, but I don't know. I guess if there were loose stones, it happened to be around. Maybe like four tiles came loose or something. I don't know. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. By the way, the Mishnah and the Gemara don't identify who this Kohen was. Josephus lets the secret slip. It was Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech, and in fact Josephus goes on to say that he was very angry, of course, and ordered his soldiers to kill several thousand Jews. But the Mishnah and the Gemara never identify him by name. I once saw an explanation, because even though Yanai himself was a Rosha, Fort, they didn't want to, Fort descended from the Hashmonoim, who were great tzaddikim, so they didn't want to say such a thing about him. But yeah. Okay, Tanya, we learned it. I don't know. The truth is, it may not necessarily be the same story. I think Tosfos over there in Sukkah brings from Yerushalmi or something that when they pelted him with the Sturgium and the stones, that they actually killed him. That doesn't fit with what Josephus says, that he was still alive for a long time afterwards. So it might be two different stories, or it might be that Josephus had a confused version of what happened. You have other times where he has like that, where he has stories in his history that seem to be a mutation of a story that the Gemara tells us. Tanya, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Yochoyon, minayim l'tomid shalben abayim shetolim shnei gzir etzim b'shnei koyanim. How do we know that the tomid in the afternoon, you need two pieces of wood that are carried by two koyanim? Yeah, tiny Rashbi, Rashbi is Reb Shimon ben Yochoyon. How do we know that by the Talmud Shabbat Abayim you need the two Gzira Eitzim carried by two koyanim? Shenema, because the pasuk is of Orchu Eitzim. They should set up wood. Now, im ene in the Talmud Shal Shachar. Now the context of that pasuk is not talking about the Talmud Shal Shachar. In fact, the context is not talking about the Talmud at all. The context is talking about a regular korban ola, like a voluntary korban ola that a person brings. But we don't need it for the Talmud Shal Shachar. Because the pasuk says that the koyin should burn wood together with it every morning, and arrange the wood on it. So we see already that there has to be wood arranged with the Torah and Talmud. Therefore, tneu in the Talmud Shal Shachar. Therefore, apply it to the Talmud Shal Shachar. And that means that the Talmud Shal Shachar, you need two koyinim, but orchu, they should arrange wood. Now, what it is again, the pasuk itself is talking about a voluntary oila. However, Tosfos Yeshanim says later on, the Gemara is going to explain that certain psukim that are talking about the regular korban oila are actually meant to refer to the korban talmud. The talmud is an oila, but these psukim are not written specifically in connection with the talmud, just generically in connection with an oila. But the Gemara is going to explain later on Daf Chaf Zayin that there are certain psukim over there from which we learn out details about the talmud. So therefore, we're justified in saying that this pasuk refers to the Talmud, but we don't need it for the morning Talmud, so therefore we can apply it to the afternoon Talmud. This is a general rule we often have in Shas, in Eina Inu Lazet, Tneu Inu Lazet. We have a pasuk that we don't need for its context, therefore we use it to teach us a din in a related context. Okay, so the question is, Ve'ema Aidi Ve'aidi V'tomid Shal Shachar. Why? Maybe both Psukim, Ve'orchu Eitzim, and Uvir Alei HaKoyen, are talking about both by the Tomid Shal Shachar, Ve'omer Achmana Ovid V'hadar Ovid. Maybe the Torah is telling us, first one Koyen should go put wood on there, together with the Tomid, and then two Koyenim should. So you're gonna have multiple times by the Tomid Shal Shachar that wood is placed on top of the pieces of the Korbanos that are being burned, but all in the morning. Who says any of them are talking about the afternoon? The answer is, if that were the case, the pasuk would have said the word uvir in both places. It would have said the word uvir in both places. The Gemara says that's no good. It calls it Rachmanu uvir. No, because if it said uvir in both places, then you would think that it, both times it's one koyin who does it, not two. Maybe the fact that we have a singular verb the first time and a plural verb the second time is telling us that you have one koyin the one time and two koyinim the next time, but not one by the Tomid Shal Shachar and one by the Tomid Shal Ben Arbayim, but rather all of them by the Tomid Shal Shachar and none of them by the Tomid Shal Ben Arbayim. The answer is, fine, but if it was just a matter of singular versus plural, the posit could have at least used the same verb both times. Use the word uvir both times, or use the word va'orach both times. And then fine, one would be in singular and one would be in plural, and we'd say that it means that all of them are done during the Tomid Shal Shachar. First one koyin brings two pieces of wood, and then two koyin and bring two more pieces. My uvir v'orchu, where it uses not only one is singular and one is plural, but they're different verbs, shmamina kidekamrinan, then that means, like we said, that it's actually different tmidim as well. One for the morning and one for the afternoon. So that's how it is. In the morning you have one koyin bringing the two pieces, in the afternoon you have two koyin and bring them. Okay. Tony Rabchia. Rav Chiya taught a brisa to summarize things. Pious pa'omim yud gimel. Sometimes when it comes to the pious for the Talmud, sometimes 13 koyanim win it. Like we said a couple of mishnayos ago, that you had again, you have mishoychet mizorik, mimidashim mizbech apnimi, mimidashim mizbech apnimi. That's four, and then you have nine to bring up the pieces to the kevesh. So that's 13. So sometimes you have 13 koyanim win it. Pa'omim yud dalid. Sometimes 14, because we said in our mishnah that you have an extra one carrying the jug of water during sukkahs. So sometimes they pick 14 koyanim. Pa'omim tesavav. Sometimes 15, namely on Shabbat. We said you have the Shneva Zichilavona, Palmim Tesayin, and sometimes 16, Shabbos doing Sukkos, when we said you have 12 in our Mishnah, plus the 4 that did the other Avodis related to the Talmud. So that 12 plus 4 is 16. So the Gemara asks about Tanya Yud Zayin. We have a Braisa that says 17. The answer is Hahid Deloiker, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ela Kerab Yehuda. That Braisa would not be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, rather that Braisa would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, we said before on Amar Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that we don't make a separate pious to see who brings up the Evorim from the ramp to the Mizbeach. The same Kohenim will drop them off there, or the same Kohenim will pick them up and bring them up. Rabbi Yehuda, we said on Amar Aleph, disagrees with that. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no pious for the machda, but somebody has to do it. Somebody has to bring in the pan full of coals to burn the ketores. So therefore, according to him, you wind up with seven. So therefore, on a Shabbos doing sukkahs, you have 16 for the Talmud, 16 for the Talmud and the related things, and one for the machda. That's the Rashi says that's his preferred explanation. Then Rashi brings a different gersois. Rashi says there's a different gersa over here. But he says I don't like that. The fact is we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that there's no pious for the machta, but there is a koyin necessarily doing it. It's not like the same koyin who brings in the tortoise brings in the machta. So necessarily, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there has to be an extra koyin. Now on the other hand, Tosfos. Yeah, we could. We're going to see by the Kohen Gadol when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's exactly what he does. He carries the Ketura, the spoonful of Ketura in one hand and the Machta in the other. Yeah, the Gemara mentions that they're usually avoided with the left hand as possible, but here it's an exception because there's no choice. In the case of the Kohen coming every day in with Ketura, maybe he could stack one on top of the other. He could hold the Machta and then stack the Ketura on top of it. I don't know. Anyway. So that's according to Rashi. Tosfos and Tosfos Rishonim and most other Rishonim have a different girsa. Rashi changed the girsa from what he had it before him, which is why Rashi begins over here, Hochi Garsinim. So all of them had different girsa that the Gemara is telling us that the Braisa, we just said 17, is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, we said before, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the same Kohenim who brought the pieces to the ramp also bring them up to the Mizbeach. So according to him, there was no separate pious for that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we said there was no separate pious for the Machta. Now we have a Tana. We said before, Rava said, is there a Tana who holds that there were five pieces? Then he would hold like neither one of them. Very well, here is that Tana. So now you have, he would hold that there was a pious for the Machta as well. So therefore on Shabbos during Sukkot, again, you have 16 Kohenim that win things having to do with the Tamid and the related things that are brought with the Tamid, including the water and the Shnei Bezich HaLevayna. And then you have a 17th Kohen who was picked to carry in the Machta, to carry in the pan of coals onto the Mizbeach HaZahav. So that would be not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what the Gemara is saying. There is a different explanation also that what we're saying there, Rabbi Hananel understands that the 17 we mean is the total number of Kohenim who won Avodas across all four Piyasas. You have one Kohen wins the first Pius, 13 Kohenim win the second one Kohen wins the third one, the third one was for Ktodas. And one Kohen wins the fourth one, according to the explanation that one Kohen would carry up all the pieces to the Mizbeach. So therefore, that makes 16. And we're saying you would have one more who carries the Machta as well, so that's 17. So in other words, Rashi's understanding and Tosfos' first understanding is that the 17 is talking about within the second pious, how many people would win. According to Rabbi Hananel's explanation, what we mean is 17 across all four piyosis, altogether 17 Kohen and one Avodas for that day. Okay. Good. Shreyach, everyone.